All right. Your Bible, I want you to grab that. Gospel of Luke. Chapter 17. Luke 17. Thankfulness. Thanksgiving is approaching. How many of you guys are leaving town in Hayes this week? Okay, I see that hand. I see that hand. Good. How many of you guys are staying here in Hayes? Okay. How many of you guys, you want to leave Hayes? Okay. Well, my family will be loading up probably on Tuesday and headed to the great state of Oklahoma to see all my family, then get there Wednesday and want to come back home. This is home for me. I'm a homebody. I like to be at home. I like to be in my house. So, all right, Luke 17. So we're talking about Thanksgiving. We have a wonderful lunch ahead of us, prepared for us. We're not going to talk about gluttony today. That will be a sin we'll cover another time. It's one of the things that Baptists don't talk about too much is gluttony. Thanksgiving. Let's pick up verse 11, chapter 17 of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This is Jesus. He's traveling again, okay? We've dealt with his travels in the Gospel of John. Now we're in the Gospel of Luke, and he's traveling. And he's kind of the same area of Samaria and Galilee. We're kind of familiar with those two locations. He's on the border of these two. And he's, verse 12, and he's entered a village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lifting up their voice, saying to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way, your faith has made you well." We looked at the Gospel of John, the relationship between Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles, and now we're kind of having the same kind of same discussion happening in this story, in this event. Jesus is traveling on the road, and there are 10 lepers. And if you're not familiar with what leprosy is, leprosy was a skin disease, an external disease that would cause your flesh to almost like rot. Very, very difficult. Now, today it's been given a new name. It's called Hansen's disease, and we've learned a lot today that it's not highly contagious. It's difficult to get leprosy. We're not totally sure how you get it, really. It's very difficult. And a majority of people are immune to it. But in biblical times, leprosy was something that people did have, and most people thought it was a curse God gave them. Some kind of a sin they had committed, and God cursed them with leprosy. Well, in this culture, in the Gospel of Luke, leprosy or lepers, those who had leprosy, were removed from society. They were required to live outside of the city gates, and usually they would live in little leprosy towns. They would kind of gather together amongst themselves and take care of each other. And here you have 10 of them together, and they see Jesus on the road, and at a distance, they cry out to him. One of the Jewish laws is that a leper could not come in a certain distance from a person. They had to stay away from people because they believed it was very contagious. They believed if you touched them or breathed upon them or around them, you would get it. There are some stories of Jewish rabbis who would see a leper on a street, and they would cross the street just to avoid them ahead of them. Or if they were buying groceries or buying produce, they would leave and go somewhere else just because they saw a leper in the area. They were outcasts. They were discarded. And we've seen this before in the Gospel of John, where Christ comes to the discarded, Christ comes to the outcast, Christ comes to those who are helpless. So there's 10 of them. And they, verse 14 or 13, lift up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They're crying out at Christ to heal them from a distance. Verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." So I want you to kind of get the, again, the mental picture or the imagination in your mind of what's going on. These 10 lepers are down the road, a distance away, and they're yelling at each other, "Have mercy on us." And Christ says back to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, that has a meaning. In Jewish culture, they would go to the high priest and they would have themselves examined to make sure they were ceremonial clean. If they were declared to be clean, then they could enter back into society. They could go back to the temple, go back to the synagogue. They could come back into the marketplace. They could come back to their homes. But they had to show themselves to the priest to get that passage, that pass. So Christ says in verse 14, "Go show yourself to the priest." Verse 14, "And as they went, they were cleansed." And as they went, Christ says, "Go show yourself to the priest." He never says, "Be healed." He just says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, why would you go show yourself to the priest, the Jewish priest, if you weren't healed of your leprosy? That wouldn't make any sense. But in verse 14, it says that when they turned, that all 10 of them, they started to walk away, they were cleansed, they were healed. Christ, again, he never says, "Be healed," never says anything to about them, about this. Verse 15, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice." So as they're walking away, and as they turn away from Christ, they're healed, they're cleansed, they're healed of this leprosy. And one of them looks down, and then maybe his fingers have grown back, or something has changed, and he realizes something's different, and he realizes he's healed. And he turns back, and he goes back to Jesus. Verse 16, "And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet." At his feet. He began crying out from a distance, and he turns and walks away from Christ, realizes he's healed. Now he's back at the feet of Jesus, at his feet. He's covered that ground. You see that? You catch that? Verse 16. "Now he was a Samaritan." He was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. There was some racial, ethnic divide there between these two people groups. Verse 17, Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Did I not heal 10 lepers? Where's the other 9 guys? Where have they walked off to? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Except this Samaritan?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I would say that from this text, that 10 men were healed of leprosy, but only one was regenerated and saved. The other 9 had their physical needs met, but their eternal soul was not cleansed. Thanksgiving is our celebration today. We're having a Thanksgiving lunch, and here you have an individual, a man who was cleansed of a very horrible disease that changed his life forever, and he comes back and he worships Christ at his feet, but you have 9 others who do nothing. We all do this, don't we? At some point in our lives. We've all received a blessing. We've all received a gift from God in our lives, but sometimes we, like the nine, never return. Never turn around, never say thank you. We just keep on living our lives. These nine men went back to the priest, had their body, and they were declared clean, entered back into society, and they got to reap all the benefits and rewards of being healed of leprosy and Christ for it. Never worshiped him. And we all do this. Every day we have blessings. Every day we receive grace and favor from God in our lives, and we just keep on going through our day like it was nothing. And we benefit from it, never saying thank you. And some blessings are small, some are almost, you just miss them. Getting up in the morning and having hot water for a shower, that's a blessing. Sometimes we just get so used to them, we just forget about them. So there's some scripture I want to read about Thanksgiving. Some of it will be on the screen. First one is Psalms chapter 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, O you his saints. Give thanks to his holy name. Psalms 35, verse 18. I will thank you in the great congregation. And in the mighty throng, I will praise you. Psalms 50, verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Psalms 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Praises to your name, O Most High. Psalms 97, 12. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Psalms 106, verse 1. You catch the theme of the author of Psalm, of the book of Psalms. Psalms 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So for the next few moments, what are you thankful for? BJ, where's your microphone at? There it is. Right behind me. Come here, BJ. Not everybody at once. Take turns. No. If they take too long, we'll call on people, but we'll see who goes first. What are you thankful for? I want to give a moment of corporate testimony. What are you thankful for? What has God done in your life that you would like to praise him in public? Your turn. The first one's always the hardest.
I'll lead it. I'm actually thankful for our jobs that we have, our ability to be able to work, and there's a number of things that come from that: our home, our vehicles, etc., food, whatever. But the Lord has blessed us with